This morning's scripture before the lesson will come from Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
I went to the doctor to get my yearly physical last year, and that was a little problem. I was borderline diabetic. So he said, let's work on that. Before we give you any medicine, let's work on that. So kind of watch what you eat and get a little bit more exercise. So come back in 3 months and we'll check it again. Well, I went back in 3 months and I hadn't made much progress. So he said, now, look, let's watch what you eat and get a little bit more exercise, and let's see how this goes. Come back in another 3 months. Well, I came back in another 3 months, and it wasn't much better. In fact, it wasn't any better. So he said, let's give it 3 more months. Now, here's what I want you to do. Watch what you eat and get a little bit more exercise and come back in 3 months. Well, I went back here just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I believe we're going to have to put you on a little bit of medicine. So, anyway, the problem was that I haven't bought into this change of lifestyle is what it amounts to. And you know, it's not any consolation, but I'm not alone in this. Where statistics tell us that we as Americans are the most overweight, under-exercised people in the world. We've just enjoyed plenty for so long that now it's really beginning to tell on us, and it's starting to be a health problem. And it kind of started with the older, and then it got down and kept going down, and now it's even down into our young kids. In fact, the government even has stepped in and said, all right, here's what you can serve for lunches. And we want to, there's a big push to go back to PE, you know, and exercise a little bit more. But this is what exactly Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 3. The people at Colossae were having a problem. They weren't eating the right spiritual food, and they were not exercising their faith. And so Paul here in Colossians chapter 3 is laying out for them about what what my doctor said to me. He's telling them they need to really watch what they put into their spiritual body and what they eliminate from their spiritual body, and they really, really need to exercise their faith more. Let's look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, because not only is it profitable for the people at Colossae 2,000 years ago, but it is absolutely so very applicable for us today. Paul begins by saying, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Now, one of the other translations says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Another says, that is why you must kill everything in you that belongs only to earth, to the earthly life. What he is talking about here is a resurrection lifestyle. A new lifestyle completely. And that's what I haven't done in my little problem. I haven't changed my lifestyle. And until I do, I think I'm going to be dealing with this problem. And that's what Paul is saying here. This resurrection lifestyle begins with eradication of the former lifestyle. There has to be a change. Back in 1984, there was a gymnast from America that just absolutely won the hearts of the world. Her name was Mary Lou Retton. Perhaps some of you remember her. She won a gold medal in the 1984 Olympics. And she was truly an absolute perfectionist in her sport. And she was asked one time, how did she do that at such a young age? And here is what she said. I'd like for you to listen very carefully. She said, while others were out playing, I was working out. To succeed, I could not afford to waste time and energy on that which distracted me from my goal of becoming a world-class gymnast. I devoted my life to one thing, and I died to everything else. No wonder she was at the top of her game. No wonder she was a gold medalist. And so the Christian must do the same thing. In order for us to succeed in this resurrection lifestyle, we are going to have to change the way we're doing things. And Paul talks about how that we have to die to everything that distracts us from that goal. And this is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He said, brethren, I don't count myself to have attained. But this one thing I do, forgetting all the things that are behind me and reaching forth to the things which are before me, I press toward the goal of the prize that is set before me. Paul said, I have got to set that as my goal. Again, in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now watch this now. And the life that I now live, it's a different life. Crucified with Christ, yet I live. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why was Paul able to accomplish so much with so much persecution? Because he had changed himself to this resurrection lifestyle, and nothing was going to get in his way. He uses this metaphor of slavery in Romans chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, when he says it this way, but present yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. For sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Martin Luther once said, I went down to the river to bury the old man, only to discover that he could swim. You know, sin is not going to let us go easy. I mean, it just keeps pulling and it keeps trying to get us back. And that's the reason why, unless we make this commitment, people, unless obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian is more than just being dunked down in some water, then we're going to find it ever, ever, ever so difficult to be what God wants us to be. To walk in that resurrection lifestyle. To be as Paul challenged us to be in Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Baptized into Christ, baptized into His death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be raised to walk in newness of life. And that's what it's going to have to take. Because if we don't, it's just going to pull so hard and tug on us so hard that it's going to get us back. Oh, I've tried a little bit. I gave up Mountain Dew. Boy, I was a Mountain Dew doer. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll give up Mountain. Did pretty good. But then, you know, just like on this last Dallas trip, you know, I was coming home, driving home, thought, I'm kind of sleepy. Boy, I think I deserve a Mountain Dew. So I stopped and I got me a Mountain Dew. Oh, son, it tasted good. Oh, I like that Mountain Dew. Well, you know, I come on home. And so last night, Justin comes in with a Mountain Dew. And he sits it down over there by the chair where he sits. And I'm looking at that Mountain Dew and I'm thinking, man, I sure would like to have a swig of that Mountain Dew. And I'm thinking, if he gets up out of that chair and goes outside somewhere, I didn't, but I sure did want to. Sin just won't let you go. The devil is just right there pulling at us. And so that's why that whenever we talk about repentance is an effort to make a change. And that change has to come, and it has to come deep inside. So, you know, it's you shouldn't have to decide every morning, am I going to live for Jesus today? That should be and should have been a decision that we made whenever we were baptized. And we shouldn't have to make it every day. Now again, it won't be easy. We're going to have some struggles because habits and patterns are hard to break. I know that. You know that. So that's the reason why that warnings like this are important. Where we make the effort to get up and get ready and get the kids ready and get here for worship. These are things that help us to break those patterns. To create, and this is something that you have to work on for the rest of your life. This lifestyle, this resurrection lifestyle we're calling it this morning. That's the reason why you have to work on that continually, because it takes a lifetime to create. And so Paul here is trying to get us to realize this very thing. And he does it by, first of all, He catalogs some of the corruption, some of the things we don't need to put into our spiritual body, some of the things that if they're in our spiritual body, we need to get rid of. He actually has two lists here in verse 5 and then again in verse 8. The one in verse 5 tends to be more personal in nature. The list in verse 8 tends to be more social in nature. But anyway, that first list, this personal sins, notice this catalog of personal sins that he says. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, greed, which amounts to idolatry. And we're noticing more and more and more how difficult the world is making for us and for our children, particularly in these areas right here. Because sexual immorality, it comes in so many forms, but we're seeing it more and more and more. The things that we read, the things that we watch, everywhere we turn, even in our legislation from our Congress now, or from our Supreme Court, we're finding them trying to legislate sexual immorality. And so this is something we've got to deal with. But we're not the first one. It just seems like we see it more because of the technology that's absolutely brought it into our home. One thing, when something's out in my front yard, I can deal with that a whole lot different than whenever I have to deal with it in my living room. Well, I'm telling you, people, these things are no longer out in the front yard. They are in your living room of your life and of your home. And we're going to have to deal with these, but we're not the first to have to do that. The people at Colossae were having to do the same thing. They were living in a very immoral city. They were living in a very immoral place. And so Paul is having to deal with these things. And he says here that this risen life begins by cleaning up every trace of immortality. And you ask the question, well, where does immortality or immorality and impurity, where does it originate? And the point is, it originates in your heart. You've got to get your heart on board. The change has to begin in your heart. And that's, again, my personal problem. I've cleaned up a few little things, but I haven't really changed. And so I'm still seeing this recurring problem. And that's exactly what Paul was saying to the people here. Until you clean up your heart, your life is not going to be cleaned up. Until there is a change in your heart, the change is not going to show consistently in your life. That's why we just keep slipping back. And we keep slipping back. And we go back and we do the things we know is not good for us spiritually. Well, the second list that Paul gives here in verse 8 deals primarily with the social aspect of this Christian life that we need to live. And he says here, put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. Do not lie to one another. This word here that he uses, put aside, it was a word that in the Greek meant to take off your clothes. We see the very word, except it is used this way in Acts chapter 7, whenever they're stoning Stephen, and it says here, and the witnesses lay aside their robes at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. My kids, your kids, love to play in the dirt. What is it about kids that they love the dirt? Mine like to take the hose and just spray each other, and they get so filthy and so wet. They got dirt all over them. They got grass all over them. We've had to make them take their clothes off underneath the canopy there, and the girls run to the bathtub and Ryan runs to the shower. Now, they get all cleaned up, get the little hair dried and get them all cleaned up. How foolish would it be to go and put those wet, dirty, filthy clothes back on those clean little kids? You say, well, preacher, you're being silly here now. I'm glad you said that. Because that's exactly what Paul is saying here. In fact, he told the church at Galatia, churches in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, chapter 1 and verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I just can't believe that you would go back and put on the same old clothes. Why would you do that? We wouldn't do that to our children. Why do we do that spiritually? Is the point. And then finally this morning, Paul tells us why. Why would we need it? He doesn't just tell us what to do. He tells us why we need to do it. And he lists two reasons here. Very quickly. In verse 6 he says, for it is on the account of these things that the wrath of God will come. One of the big reasons why we need to change to this resurrection lifestyle, reason why we need to clean up what we're doing, reason why we need to look and be careful about what we're putting on our plate and eating spiritually, is because we are going to have to give an account to God. We are going to have to stand before the God of all creation, and we are going to give an account. I don't think that impresses us like it should. I just don't think that we really think about having to give an account to God. And then we look around us and we see the world in such a mess, and we just wonder, you know, what else can I do? Ray Stedman made a statement about our society that I want to read to you this morning. I think we need to hear it. He said, we all of a sudden find ourselves facing a flood of evil practices. The restraints that once kept evil under bonds and within bounds are lifted. And evil practices flood the scene. Laws are flouted. Morality is cast aside. Evil is praised and defended on every side. Finally, we reach a stage in society where almost anything goes. And we cannot legislate against anything anymore. The moral fabric of society is destroyed. And it is easy to see that that is right where we are today. So we're going to have to make a difference. And it has to start with us. It has to begin where we are. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, he says that if we have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we become there again entangled and overcome, watch it now, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better that we had not even known the way of righteousness than to depart from it. And then he gives us these two word pictures. And it's kind of yucky. Because he said, when that happens, whenever you escape the pollution, when you become a Christian and then you go back, it's just like a sow that was washed and goes back to the wallowing in the mire. And it's just like, here's the yucky, it's just like a dog that vomits and then goes back and eats its vomit again. Yeah, it makes you sick, doesn't it? Makes you sick. But that's exactly what the Lord is trying to tell us. It ain't good. So now I'm asking, are you living a resurrection lifestyle? Are you willing to? Here is great truth. Believe them with your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess that He is the Christ. Be baptized. And then, brother, help me walk right. And I'll try to help you. We can make it. The Lord tells us we can. Because He said we can win every time if we fight for Him and walk with Him. Will we win every battle? Nope. Will we win the war? Absolutely. God is there ready to help us if we'll make up our mind to walk with Him. Will you come while together we stand and sing?
Will your anchor hold in the storm of life when the clouds unfold?
His wings are shining.